Well, good morning. We're going to get started. So good to see all you guys here today. We're going to try to be very prompt. We're on a very tight schedule. It would have been better if we had 2 hours for this lesson instead of an hour and a half, but for the sake of the kid workers, we're going to try to stay on task. And also, they will be rotating in and out of their spaces while we are, so it's important that we even set a little timer. So if you are a small group leader, when we leave here, if you would set your watch or somebody in your group, your helper, would set a little timer for 11:15. We have to be finished and move back in here in the sanctuary so that we finish together. We'll have a group question and answer time briefly to finish together. I hope you got a little schedule out from the table, picked up a map, and all the little handouts that were on the table. The schedule, just a reminder that we'll be off that first week of October. We will not be meeting that week. It's a fall break week, not a spring break week, but just keep that in mind, and then we'll hopefully finish strong. I hope all you guys can stay committed and follow through, because we're in for a blessing with this study. Somebody did drop some money. I have it. It was early on this morning. It looks like it fell out of somebody's pocket. If you're missing any money, just see me. And I want to do some announcements really quickly. First, there's a yellow truck outside that has a really nice cup sitting on top of it. So don't, oh, okay. All righty. Okay, that's good. Just to remind you that the men's conference is October 6th and 7th. If you have a man in your life or a friend, encourage them to sign up and come. It's John Randall from California. He's on a radio station, and my daughter is a huge fan. She's trying to figure out how to come and be a part of that. The cost is $40. It's lunch is served, so encourage the men to sign up right away. Then we are already signing up for Christmas tea hostesses, and that means you would decorate a table and take care of the women sitting at your table. We need 45 people willing to do this. So if you would like to decorate a table, the papers are out there. Just put your name on there. That would be awesome. And if all of you here, if 45 of you would sign up, that would be great. Then we would be finished and we can move along to the next step. You can sign up online. That would be great. Let's see. We are in need of a sound person on Fridays or Tuesday nights. If you like audio and have the giftings to do that, that would be great. We also need a worship person. If you can play the guitar and sing just to lead us in one worship beginning and end, that would be a real blessing to all of us. So if you have that gift, see me. I would really appreciate that. Now, I'm going to read where your room is. So according to who your name tag says your leader is, go to this room. If you have Tracy Kirk, will be in this green room over here. If you're with Linda Coe, you are in the sanctuary by the sound booth back here. If you're with Courtney Yagazinski, you're in the sanctuary corner over there. If you're with Courtney West, you're in the children's check-in area out in the hallway. If you're with Marcia Hart, you're in the Bethlehem room, and that's in the big kid area in that back classroom. If you're with Irita Reagan, you're in the children's worship area. That's the main area inside the kids, big kids area. If you're with Karen Veach, you're in the cafe. And if you're with Stacy Beeler, you're in the conference room, which is up front near the offices. And if you're with Karen Clark, you're in Mark's office, which is by the front desk down that little hall straight ahead. They'll show you where it is. So that's where all the classes are, and hopefully you can find that really quick when we dismiss. Just go straight there. When you're in your class, in the discussion groups, we don't have a lot of time to talk long. We just have to sort of, we barely got through the questions on Tuesday night, and we didn't even get through all the days or all the questions. Even the ones we intended to do, just picking a few, it was hard to get through. So try to stay on course, talk about the lesson, and leaders, let your group talk. This is the time for the leaders to not talk and let the groups talk. But try to answer the question and not go off on rabbit trails, because sometimes as women we have a tendency to do that. And we'll get through more of the lesson, and we want to get as much of it in as humanly possible. But it's a great lesson. It is a fun study, and I'm really excited about it. So before we start, let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would calm and quiet our spirits and help the hurriedness of our morning just calm us down on the inside, that we would have ears to hear your voice and sense the prompting of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It is truth. It is the plumb line for helping us walk in a way that brings pleasure to you and honor. Help us to walk upright and on your path. Lord, I pray that you would bless each lady here, that you would speak to all of our hearts, that you would minister to us and change us and set our hearts on fire for you. Lord, we want to be women who are used by you to make a difference in this time that you've chosen for us to live in. You handpicked us to be born at this time. So, Lord, make us warriors for your kingdom. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am going to do a brief overview or introduction, and then an overview of the first chapter. The book of Revelation is the only book that comes with a promise that if we read it, we'll be blessed. And I truly believe that we're in for a blessing, especially if we heed the words of the book like it exhorts us to do. So before we look at Revelation, I feel it's important to let you know Calvary's position on a few things, on eschatology, which means end time beliefs. I don't have time today to go into all the different beliefs that are out there, so I'm just going to tell you what we here believe, because it will affect how you look at Scripture. It's okay if you don't agree with everything, but it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. And the lens that you look at Scripture through, based on your beliefs, really will affect how you look at Scripture, interpret it, and really live and obey it. So the first thing that we believe here is that we believe in the Trinity, the Godhead three in one. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that they're equal. Jesus was not created. There's a false teaching that was being whispered around our women's group that Jesus was created by Father God, and he's God, but he was created. That's false. It is not true. Jesus is God, every bit as much as God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. They're equal. They have different responsibilities. Jesus is begotten of the Father, meaning he was born a baby on the earth, but he wasn't created. He's always existed, and he took on form of man to reach us. We believe that God is eternal. We believe that Jesus left heaven, became the begotten Son of God on the earth died for our sins, was resurrected, and will come again and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. That's our position here. We are here at this Calvary. We are futurist view. We hold the futurist view of the book of Revelation, which means that from chapters 4 to 22, we believe those things have yet to be fulfilled. We are dispensationalist, which means we believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. We know that Jesus used parables and stories to make a point, but we believe those stories or parables have a literal meaning. And I'll give you an example. When Scripture says that Jesus is the door, we know that he is not a wooden door, but we know that he is the only way into heaven. He's the entryway. That's the literal interpretation of We also believe that there's a literal interpretation of prophetic scripture found in Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation. So we believe that these things will literally take place. And because we hold a literal interpretation of scripture, we maintain a difference between Israel and the church. When God says Israel in the Bible, we believe he means Israel. And when he says the church, we believe he means the church. So if he made a promise in the Old Testament to Israel, we believe that promise is still true. In other words, we do not believe that the church replaces Israel. That's what we believe here at Calvary. A second tenet that we believe of dispensationalism is that we are premillennialists. That means that we believe that Jesus will come again in the second coming after the tribulation, and he will set up a temporary 1,000-year millennial reign, and he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. So he will come back in the second coming before the millennial reign. The third tenet that we hold here at Calvary that's usually generally held by others is that we believe in a pre-rapture of the church. Now, it's okay if you don't believe that. It's not a salvation issue, but we can argue about it on the way up. But I say it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it. We believe in a pre-rapture that the church will be taken out of here before the great tribulation, that the church, those who know Jesus, will not experience God's wrath. It doesn't mean we won't experience people's wrath or the world's wrath or Satan's troublings, but we will not experience God's wrath. And so regardless of where you stand in all those positions, it is important for you to know what you believe and why you believe it. And the one thing that we need to agree upon is that Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. Regardless of how it all plays out, we have to be ready. We need oil in our lamps shining bright. We need Jesus to be our first love, not just an add-on in our lives. And hopefully by doing this study, it will rekindle our first love fire. And imagine if all of us, like 12 disciples changed the world, if all of us in this room were to burn bright for Jesus and have a passion for lost souls, imagine what we could do in our city. It would be awesome. Well, we're going to look now at just an overview of the first week. The word revelation comes from the Greek word where we get our English word apocalypse, which literally means an uncovering or an unveiling. And so this book is the uncovering or unveiling of Jesus Christ. And the more we learn or see or know about Jesus, the more we should love him because he's so good. And for what he loved us when we were yet sinners. Hopefully this study, as he is unveiled more and more to us, should rekindle our love and our first love, especially as we see the end approaching. And I want to ask you, just really ask yourself, what is the master passion of my life? Is it Jesus? Is that the thing we wake up like, how can I serve him today? How can I please him today? How can I not mess up? How can I be more like him? Because that's the point of studying any scripture. If we just study it and just to hear it and get knowledge, that doesn't benefit us. But if we study it to heed it, to obey it, to please him, that not only changes our life, that can change the world. This book of Revelation of Jesus Christ to John, it's a revelation. Some people say revelations. It's just one. It's the book of Revelation. It's not plural. It's the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus, unveiling of Jesus. The author of the book is God, and we can see a picture of the Trinity in verses 4 through 5. And usually the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this scripture, in this passage, we see the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, because the focus will stay on the Son throughout the book of Revelation. So it talks about God the Father, and he is described as he who was and is to come. And now Jesus is also later described that way, and in scripture is described that way, but we know it's talking about the Father because it says, and from Jesus Christ. And the second part of the Trinity mentioned here is the Holy Spirit, and where it says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Some believe that this could be seven angels, but some believe this is a reference to the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold characteristics of the Holy Spirit that we find in Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, and I'll read that to you. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And these are the seven things: the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And then the third part of this is said to be from Jesus, and he becomes the focus, like I said. This revelation was unveiled to John, and most scholars believe this is the disciple John, who was the brother of James, a fisherman, who was quick to obey the calling of Jesus on his life. It's the one that scripture says that Jesus loved, and the one who was reclining on Jesus at the Last Supper, and he's the one who... Peter said, well, what to Jesus, what about John? And where Jesus said, you don't worry about John, you just worry about yourself. What is that to you, basically? He's one of the sons of thunder who turned into a lovely, tender disciple known as the disciple of love. All the disciples were eventually martyred, except for John, who they tried to martyr. They tried to kill him by boiling him in oil, but he didn't die, and so then they exiled him to the island of Patmos, where prisoners were kept, and that's where he wrote all this down. The process, or the way this book was written, was God the Father gave it to Jesus, who gave it to his angel, who passed it down to John, who wrote it down to letters to the churches, and now we have it today. Why was there only seven churches singled out? I have no idea. Seven is the number of completion. And so maybe it's that God wrote a letter to every different kind of church, that it would deal with all the issues that a church would have throughout history. That's one thing scholars think. They don't know, but if you look at your map, they're in order of a little circuit, it would have been easy to travel from one to one to one. And it also is fitting and seems to be true that each of those letters represent a stage in church history, starting with the first church in Ephesus, representing the apostolic age, and ending with Laodicea, which is the last church represented. And there's some, you know, it can be overlapping of church history, obviously, because things aren't just set like that. Even with prophecy, it overlaps and has a literal meaning of what's happening at the time and then a futuristic, but that's also represented in the seven letters, is seven periods of church history. The purpose of this book is so that we can know the things which must soon take place. And when I was young and going to church and we'd see end time movies, I would think, how in the world can anything like that ever be? And now don't you think, oh, it's so scary, it's almost to happen, and you can see really clearly we're living in the pages of the Bible right now. And it's, you don't have to guess. You just have to think, please don't let that happen while I'm alive. Lord Jesus, come and get us. But we need to be ready. The Bible says and said way back then when these things were written that they would soon or shortly take place. And that word soon can mean two different things. It can mean that it will happen immediately or imminent, or which it can now because every prophecy has been fulfilled that needed to be fulfilled in order for Jesus to be ready to return. So his return to me is imminent. He could come any moment. There's nothing that has to happen to hinder his coming, other than the last person being saved. So we should really, really, really be praying for that person to come to know the Lord, because he only delays out of mercy so that more people can be saved and be in heaven. Another way that you can read this word shortly or soon is that it can mean rapidly, quickly, or speedily. In other words, when the end time clock starts, all this is going to happen really fast. And I kind of feel like that's already happened too. I feel like, you know, we've seen earthquakes and all this increase and increase. But when the COVID situation happened, that was a worldwide thing. That wasn't just America or just a pocket here or there. That was everybody being affected. And when we see the changes taking place and all the plans that the world leaders have in unity together, it seems to me that this end time thing is happening and changes are going to happen fast. And so all the more reason to be ready and to be looking up and have, you know, to keep a short account of your sins, basically, or of your conscience. Keep your conscience clean. You know, make sure if you feel that little prompting of the Holy Spirit, get it right away. Don't delay in fixing things in your heart between you and God or between you and people. Another thing that this chapter gives us is a promise. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. God himself is telling us, because this is authored by God, the time is near. And that word time means this period of time. So the book of Revelation is talking about a period of time, and God is saying the time is near for this to happen. The way this would have gotten into our hands, basically, we're back in John's day, he would have written it on a scroll. It would have been given to carriers who would have taken it to the pastors of the churches, and they would have read the whole thing from beginning to end to the church, and then it's been passed down all the way to us. I think one of the main words in all of this is heed. It doesn't do us any, the word heed means apply it or obey it. So if we just hear, we don't want to be hearers of the word only. The Bible tells us not to be that. Don't just hear it and go out of here and forget it and go about your day. It should not be something that we've just a check mark on our schedule, but it should be like words of life that go into our heart, that changes us, that we take it serious, that we are really listening for what the Lord is instructing us to do. We need to live in obedience to the word in order to become more like Jesus. He doesn't want us to remain the same. We should do this. Why? Because the time is near. Because we want to not be ashamed if Jesus were to come back right this minute. Or if we died soon, you know, one or the other's going to happen in a short amount of time. Time is flying by. In our lesson, we read that Jesus was the faithful witness. And that word witness means martyr. And a witness is someone who witnesses without concern for their life. His life was not taken. He laid down his life, but he was willing to come to lay down his life. So he was a faithful witness, or in essence, martyr, because he knew what was to come. And us too, what about us? Are we a faithful witness? Are we willing to lay down our life? Are we willing to share God's truth, even if it costs us friendships or family, or, you know, being ostracized at work, whatever the thing may be? Are we willing to count the cost and live in obedience, even to the point of death? Because none of us has suffered to that much, to that end yet. My prayer is that we would all be at that place soon, even today. But if not, by the time we finish this, that we'd be like, I want to be a faithful witness for Jesus. I want to end with a poem that is my prayer for you, but it's also my prayer for me. I have it written in my Bible. I love it. I want to live it. I want this to be my life. It's by Amy Carmichael, and it's called Make Me Thy Fuel, Flame of God. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would indeed make us thy fuel, and that you would burn bright in us. Burn out, pull out, purge, rip out, do whatever you have to do, anything that would make our light shine dimmer. Let us be like a light shining on a hill. Let us shine bright for you, Lord. You have our permission to do your work in us. We look to you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us your power to do what you ask us to do. We love you, and we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.